welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. I love talking to Bitcoiners. There's not only an enthusiasm and excitement that is contagious, but also a sense of possibility for the future, coupled with a steely-eyed look at the current decaying monetary system that I find irresistible. In short, Bitcoiners know some things that not everyone knows yet. If this ruffles your feathers because you're a so-called smart technologist, quote unquote, neither my guest nor I really give two shits. Are you following me? Sorry to be so crass out of the gate, but there are some serious misconceptions about money that 99% of the population holds dear. And I have a really interesting interview with a new friend today, but first a couple of memes to capture the spirit of what we'll be talking about. The first is kind of a long one from IG. I think it was from Black Robin Hood, titled, "If you're still saving in dollars, you don't understand money." He says, quote, "Here's why. The dollar isn't designed to hold value. It's designed to lose it. Inflation is built into the system. Central banks print trillions, governments spend recklessly, and your quote-unquote savings melt away year after year. Bitcoin flips that script. With a fixed supply of 21 million, Bitcoin is mathematically scarce. No one can print more, and every 4 years, new supply gets cut in half. Demand grows, supply shrinks, and over time, price compounds. Saving in dollars equals guaranteed loss. Saving in Bitcoin equals protection plus exponential upside. When you stack in Bitcoin, you're not just saving money. You're saving your time, labor, and freedom in a form that can't be inflated away. People who dismiss Bitcoin expose themselves. They don't really understand what money is supposed to do, and that is store value over time. Fiat fails that test. Bitcoin passes with flying colors. The question isn't why Bitcoin, it's why are you still trusting melting dollars," unquote. And I love that. And another interesting tidbit, Young Hoon Kim, the man who holds the Guinness World Record for highest IQ of 276, has converted all his assets into Bitcoin, and he believes that it will 100x in 10 years and become the world reserve currency. He's even quoted as saying Bitcoin is the only hope for the future economy, unquote. So for all you smarty pants out there, the man with an IQ of 276 has done the proof of work and is putting his chips on Bitcoin. Do you think it might be worth a little bit of study for you? Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. I really love today's interview. Enjoy. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Pete Noble. Pete is a husband and father, a man who has worked in technology for decades, and an enthusiastic Bitcoiner. Here is my interview with Pete Noble. Okay, I'm here with Pete Noble, father and entrepreneur, Bitcoiner Pete Noble. Pete, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
Tony, man, it's great to be here. Glad to have met you recently, and man, excited for the visit.
Me too. You know, we had an awesome coffee. That was the best coffee I've had in a long time, just because you and I are both so passionate about Bitcoin, all the things that are coming up around Bitcoin. And I don't get to meet people in person that much. I see them online and on Noster, and, you know, but a lot, the community is kind of spread out, and it's rare that I get to actually sit down with somebody that has like-minded values and has been down the rabbit hole. So I was super excited. Then we just had this great coffee, and I was like, I got to get you on Basecamp. So I really appreciate you coming on. And before we really get rolling, just give us a little brief background, like where you're from, maybe what you've done for work, anything relevant, your family, and where you live now.
Yeah, so live in the Seattle area, family, happily married, lucky man, courageous. Beautiful wife, father, three daughters, women make girls. They're on the younger side, so coming up through school. So it's fun to be raising them around our shared passion Conventionally, my background was working for software and technology companies in sales and into sales leadership. So I served an executive for companies. And along the way, I think throughout most of that conventional career, I always questioned. I loved aspects of what I did, but I always questioned, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And how is the company that I'm working for and the product that we're selling or the software that we're pitching making the world a better place? Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, that was, I think my left a conventional career close to now 10, 11, 12 years ago, and have been off doing more unconventional, artistic, entrepreneurial, creative things that certainly led us to the first of many coffees.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm always curious to get people's Bitcoin journey a bit, because there's some overlap or, you know, sometimes people have a story about it. A lot of people have, you know, you couldn't miss the memes about Bitcoin, no matter which social media platform you happen to snoop around and participate a bit in. Like, it was all over Twitter. And with some really smart memes that were kind of meant to both knock you on the head a little bit, but also draw you in. And, you know, that is certainly how I discovered it. And then, you know, there's the books, there's Saylor, there was Breedlove, there was a bunch of different ways that Bitcoiners have maybe orange pilled themselves and had like aha moments throughout. And it's not a short journey. In fact, I don't know about you, but I'm still feel like there's times I'm reading something or I'm listening to something and I'm like, oh my God, that's so profound around Bitcoin. But I guess just give us a little bit of a sense of like, how did you first discover it? Was it a friend? Was it a person? Where did you first click? And then when did you really get hooked? I can tell that you're somebody that dives into stuff like I do and so many of my listeners. How did you first get pulled into the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and where did you go to really learn?
Yeah, you speak of a journey, and I think that's one of the things that resonates so well with me about this thing, is the fact that of anybody that you meet, yourself most recently included, any Bitcoiner that you meet, they're on a journey that is not ending. So it's always continuing. You're always learning more, you're discovering more, and you're facing increasingly more of what every aspect of life with an open mind, having come to the realization that what we were led to believe is kind of the opposite. So if I back all the way out to my genesis, I can't say I discovered it or became necessarily aware of it through memes, because close to 11 years ago, you'd see references of it occasionally in the media. And at that point in the media, it was the references that I came across were less that it was a scam, but it was kind of more of a curiosity, like, hey, there's this thing.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a bigger thing. So, you know, the Genesis story, my personal Genesis story, is one of my favorite aspects of the journey in terms of my first actual step, because it comes from thinking and you have to actually do. So in 2014, I had to give my father-in-law a Christmas gift. And I got to thinking, well, what do you get somebody? What do you get someone, somebody that has everything, has a need for, you know, little, and I put some thought into it, because I'm like, well, gosh, he's such a great father-in-law that I'd love to give him something different. So I got to thinking, I'm like, man, he loves his gold. He's always talking about gold. He has coins that he's kept, and he has coin collections. And he certainly questions the state of our kind of financial, you know, national financial scene in terms of debt, mm-hmm. deficits. And so I thought, I'm like, man, I'm going to get him a Bitcoin. So I sent him a Bitcoin for Christmas in 2014.
Wow.
I thought, well, gosh, if I'm getting him a Bitcoin, you know, if I'm getting him Bitcoin, I might as well get us started. And so that's what my first Bitcoin, you know, the first exposure to Bitcoin
was buying it for your father-in-law.
I was giving it to my father-in-law, which to me, you know, I love this. I think it's actually the first step is perhaps my favorite step of my personal journey, because I believe that Bitcoin is a gift that's here to save humanity. And, you know, my first exposure was actually giving it as a gift. And to his credit, as a guy who loves gold, questions deficit, he's kept his Bitcoin. So I can't imagine a Christmas gift that has appreciated and done as well as his has.
Right, totally. Well, I think people that love gold, I think they're natural Bitcoiners if they do a little work around it, because some of the reasons they love gold are the same kind of awareness that Bitcoiners have about the monetary system and the crumbling, you know, value of the purchasing power of the dollar. So they've got one foot there, you know. It's just like that next step in, right?
Right. But, you know, I got a couple of issues with gold. But then the challenge with the goldie is the fact that then you have to consider that there's something beyond gold. Mm-hmm. And I think, in fact, calling Bitcoin digital gold, I get why it's helpful because it provides some context to more people. But I think it actually is slanderous to Bitcoin, because gold has been around for 5,000 years. It's nothing other than a rock that we have assigned value to and created a belief system. And most importantly, it hasn't solved any of the problems over 5,000 years that we face today. Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin has the potential to solve every problem that we face today, from money to organization to freedom to a better internet. So that's like what, you know, and I get why it's called digital gold, but man, calling the mothership, as I call it.
Yeah.
Digital gold is, it's like, man, where can we sue? Do we sue?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, do you ever, I swear, Pete, like there's times when I am just shocked at how early it is. Like I've expected a stampede of retail by now, and I'm still like, it's me and you, and you know, we'll probably find a couple other guys, you know, somewhere in North Seattle that are, you know, want to meet for coffee or whatever. But I mean, it's a little shocking, like, to me, that it's this early in the game still, that I thought by now people would, like my brother, who, you know, prides himself on being like, I know everything about technology, but then he's like, doesn't want to do the proof of work with Bitcoin. He's too lazy. And right. I love my brother, but he's like, he's grown up his whole life being the quote unquote smartest person in the room on technology. And his dumb jock brother, Tony, got first in on this technology. And I just understand the way, I understand it's so threatening to his identity, because he's like, I'm the technologist in the family. I'm like, well, not on this. You're not, you don't even do the work to try to understand what I'm talking about.
No, it's right. You're right. And it's crazy. If you then zoom out to consider that we were all around, or many were around, for the, you know, for the birth of the, you know, the internet that we all experience on a daily basis, and to have to recall and remember that, like, there were people saying, yeah, nobody's going to buy books online, nobody's going to want to communicate online. Like, so we have seen this play out before. I think, you know, the biggest challenge of Bitcoin becomes, for anybody that isn't exposed and or learning and or considering, is the fact that it requires you to admit that you may have been wrong. And right. People don't want to admit that they're wrong. In spite of whatever problems are with current state, it's like, nah, if I'm smart enough that if it was a thing, I would have got it. Or, yeah, I should have done it earlier. Or at this point, I don't get, to your point, why more people aren't flocking to it, or, you know, starting it. The fact that it does require action.
Yeah. Well,
and as soon as you start that action, then you start the journey.
Right. Right. Well, and even once you start your journey and you start putting some of your life force into Bitcoin and stuff, the motto of stay humble, stack sats still is an ego check, right? It still says, don't get bloated with you got first in. Like, still travel light. You know, this was a gift from God. This was a gift from the mothership, as you said, right? So It requires a lessening of an ego. Like, I love my brother, but in his point, a lessening of like, I know technology. If it's important, I already know about it. So Bitcoin can't be important. Like, he's got work to do. And then me, as the early adopter of the technology, rather than get puffed up with pride, I love talking about Bitcoin and freedom and all the things it's going to develop for humanity. But also there's, for me, an ego check of like, stay light. It's not about, just like be humble. It's, this was a gift, and spread the gift. Don't be too righteous about it. Help, figure out ways to help bring people in. I thought you had a great, when we had coffee, because I was like, how do you bring people in? And you had this great description where you kind of asked, are we going into a more digital age or less digital? And that was kind of your ramp in. And I thought that was brilliant. I've been using that ever since, because people like there's a certain amount of people that are maybe like, oh, it's too late, or what happens when the internet gets shut down? And I think a way to frame it the way you did, where you just asked them a simple question, which everybody's going to say we're getting more digital because of AI, Bitcoin, all these different things, right? But it kind of sets up the follow-up to talk about it, because people are like, oh yeah, we're not getting less digital, we're not going to be packing around gold all over the place in 15 years. Like, that's absurd, right?
I think you're exactly right. And usually, we'll stick with your brother as a proxy for, all the people that are around me in my life that I now spend no time with. It's kind of like, I guess Satoshi might have said, but like, I give zero F's if you do or you don't at this point. I'll share with what I do care and where I do spend my time and energy. But I think that are we more digital or less digital? That's a rhetorical question. Answer's easy. Then the question becomes, okay, would you wish for and desire digital that is more decentralized or centralized? Would you wish for a central bank digital currency, or would you wish for money that's free and outside of the control? So that's one for perhaps your brother and his version of my life of all the people, because it becomes pretty, it becomes then a you can opt into a central bank digital currency. You could move to Europe. You could move to China. Well, you can't really perhaps move to China. But where I do spend my time and energy is less with all the my lifelong friends and colleagues that are all have done well and great and are comfortable. Where I do spend my time and energy is with the people that I cross from every walk of life that are the workers. I consider, consider them the workers, whether they are a maid, whether they are a waiter, whether, a garbage man.
We the people.
We the people. And what I start with them is, do you say, I go hot, as you might have perceived from our coffee. I go hot and fast and hard quickly. It's not like, how are you? What's your name? Like, it's like, and the question I will ask people that are the workers and we the people, are you saving? Answer is generally yes. Oh, how do you save? Oh, in the bank. I've got a high yield account. Okay. What are you saving for? Kind of, why are you saving? How are you trying to? And they might share, some aspiration that they have for their savings. And I will quickly turn to say, you're saving in the wrong thing. You're saving in a unit that has been wired against you and us, and is an inflationary, and I, we quickly get into inflation, because we the people who they experience it more real every day in ways that are far more meaningful than you and I walking into a coffee shop where all of a sudden the coffee that was the Americano that was $4 is now $5 or $6. Like, oh, well, okay, I guess, labor's a little more expensive, coffee beans, whatever. I mean, those are the people that it resonates quickly. And more often than not, what I prescribe to them and encourage them to do. And by the way, I will frequently ask, I'll also ask, like, why don't we know more about this?
Good question.
And I'll tell them, like, they don't want us to know. They want you to keep you
On
ignorant.
the hamster wheel, right?
That's right. So I quickly prescribe, and I turn to Lynn Alden's, the 37-minute animation of her book Broken Money that she narrates, and I said, watch this 37 minutes, and you'll learn, and you'll begin to hopefully think anew and take action. Although circling back to the taking action, as we've talked about, isn't always easy, right? Because I think for most people, that action will come very easily in a near future time, where the bank will allow you to, convert perhaps some of the, your banking account will allow you to convert some of your fiat to Bitcoin. Of course, they're not going to let you take it out. You'll have
Right.
no option. But nonetheless, that convenience will come to people perhaps as a sheep in wolf's clothing.
Right. One thing I wanted to ask you, because you've got an entrepreneurial mind, and as you and I were having coffee, we were kind of riffing and spinning some different things. I don't want to give too much kind of specific detail about, light bulb business, but I'm really curious because to me, for instance, I have my other podcast. I get paid a stipend. Periodically I get written a modest check, but I basically told my boss, it's not really my boss, but it's the organization that produces it, and she's like, God, I'd love to pay you more money. And I said, well, I convert this to Bitcoin. And so for Chris and I, it's 10x. You're paying my future self and my and so when you pay me $1,500, we convert it to sats, and it's like $15,000 for those few episodes. And she was like, how are you really doing that? I'm like, it's really easy once you understand how to do it. And so for me, I'm not really a natural entrepreneur, but I recognize that because we're so early, you could set up any number of kind of modest businesses. And if you accepted Bitcoin or converted your fiat to Bitcoin, a $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month stream could
That's
be
right.
very, very lucrative and not hard to do. It becomes rather than, I'm generalizing here, but rather than people go, shit, I only make, 120,000, and that used to be enough. And now I feel like I got to make, 300,000 to be able to go on a vacation and to be able to afford stuff like
That's right.
the hamster wheel, because the money is buying, it's purchasing you less and less and less, and you don't see it. So you're just like, I just got a hamster wheel this. Let me start a side hustle. Let me see if my wife can work more hours.
What can I sacrifice?
Yeah. And it's like, here comes this asset. And I'm like, well, shit, Pete, you and I could start this little thing over here, and my podcasts are already completely in Bitcoin. Like, no matter what I get sponsored, paid, donate, whatever comes in is just turned into Bitcoin and goes right into my Bitcoin treasury. And it's like, you could do that two or three, four times, probably not work crazy hours, and have these streams coming in that are going to be worth a heck of a lot of value in 5, 10, 20 years when it
That's right.
matters. And so I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I think it's super early, and I see a lot of entrepreneurs on Nostr, but to be honest, Pete, they're coders and developers, and they're building stuff like Block, and they're building all the
Yep.
platforms that we're going to use. And I'm not like that. I'm not a technologist that way, but I see the opportunity for just a Joe Schmo ordinary person going, why don't I just make a few little businesses that make sats? And that would be really fun, and I could spread the gospel. And then also, I don't have to worry about retirement, because look what's happening, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think first of all, you underestimate yourself as an entrepreneur. But the two things that you hit on specific to how you decide to get paid, which is like, oh, but if you could, here's some money. I'm going to turn it into Bitcoin. I mean, you are a guy that's out exploring the edge of the title of the white paper, P2P. So she's giving you cash. You're turning it into Bitcoin in the near future. You will have had the option just to turn that into like, just give me straight Bitcoin for the same amount. And so that it is flowing rather than just a being a, a treasury company. And I think when once we get to flowing,
That's going to be fun, dude.
It's going to be fun, and it's fun. And there's a bunch of companies working on it. There's a company by the name Scott Deedles, who has a Block Reward podcast. I believe it's the Block Reward podcast, and he's the CEO of Block Rewards up in Canada. Mm-hmm. And right, so they're coming to market with an application that will allow employers to give employees an option to select some of their pay in Bitcoin.
Awesome.
So to me, I'm like, man, there are these companies that are coming that are going to allow companies far more easily to accept, to pay, to save, to reward. Don't even get me started on then perhaps the heat reuse within the business, but that they will become a Bitcoin operating company.
Yeah.
By the virtue of the complexity that still needs to be abstracted, although we're close, that they can just interact with it far more easily and in ways that are kind of native to their existing business. You make me think about it, and it's too much of the distraction around Bitcoin is its price.
Yeah,
the price is important. You know what the price is and the value of it. And I like to think of it more, the value is incalculable, but the price to me is the noise relative to the signal of what Bitcoin will actually is here to do.
Yeah.
And so it's in that price kind of mindset that you're like, oh, do I buy it? Do I sell it? Do I trade it? Do I, I'm making money? Well, not if you're selling it back into the thing that is decaying.
Yeah,
exactly. So when people say, well, Bitcoin's volatile, I'm like, well, you know, any volatility that makes you stronger is crazy.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, the dollar's volatile in one direction.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think, you know, it's interesting to think about, you know, in the last piece of having been around it, and I know this, you'll resonate with you, but having been around it for as long as you want, what it really is, its most crazy effect is that it actually has you wanting for less. Mm. In the same way that we were conditioned to consume by, everything has become, right? It has become a disposable economy.
Right.
We're dependent on a disposable economy. The hot water heater that we replaced a few years ago when he came in to do a service call shortly after its install, he was telling me about it, and he said, yeah, this will last 10 to 12 years. 10 to 12 years? What happened? I grew up with a hot water heater. There's probably like my best friend in our basement.
Yeah.
It was there the whole time, and it's still there, perhaps. And he's like, well, no, they build them differently now. Well, I know why they build them differently, so that they can sell more hot water heaters.
Yeah.
I mean, so we have become this disposable society where we're dependent on avarice, greed, and consumption.
Right.
And the mothership is here to solve that and cure you of it. You actually realize that you need less.
That's so good. Sorry to cut you off. The you're touching on something that I think you see in the ethos of the Bitcoin community. There's a lot of, I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody post something to the essence of, I just want to love my woman, eat good steak, be out in the sunshine and self-custody my Bitcoin. He goes, I don't need anything else. I don't need all this city noise, BS. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like this kind of almost like back to the roots. And I was like, I'm really, you know, I've been a city person my whole life, you know, but I get what they're coming from, where they're kind of, to your point, saying you want less when you've got Bitcoin. You're not striving for more. I got to work more. I got to get more money because I need all these things. It calms you down, I think, and just kind of makes things kind of simpler. And God, what a great signal that is.
That simplicity is true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And as we joked about over our coffee, everything else relative to it is a liability. Mm. All right, we were driving across the bridge and daughter said, I want a Tesla. I want a like the neighbors have. I want the four-door winged Tesla. And I said, you're wishing for the wrong thing. I said, you're wishing for a liability. It's a beautiful car.
Mm-hmm.
Costs money. You need to insure it. It's going to get hit. It's going to degrade in value. I mean, it's just, and then we're going to need another Tesla. You know, it's everything relative to the mothership in the conventional world, aside from love, God, you know, mm-hmm. Feet, the ground beneath your feet in the moment is a liability. And yeah, that liability grows, and because it's just like you have to replace it sooner. The hot water heater that lasts 10 to 12 is going on its way to 6 to 8.
Right, right. You know,
in fact, by the way, the irony of the crossed my mind as you were talking was the memes. And of course, the when Lambo meme. Yeah. And so I don't know kind of how that, whether that exists, but somebody got into my fellow, one of us got into gave him a ride recently. And as he got up to our car, because no Lambo. And I'm like, oh my God, no, that would be just a horrible waste.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you and I talked about, you know, I remember Sailor a number of years ago, and he was saying, you know, some company is going to make a super app that is going to encompass, you know, he made it sound like it's going to be everything. You're going to flash QR codes. You're going to be able to send Satoshis. You're going to be able to pay things in Bitcoin. You're going to be able to, he goes, it's going to be everything in one, and everybody on the planet's going to use it. And it doesn't exist today. And he goes, after it's built, a few years after it's out, everybody's going to wonder, what in the hell did we do before this thing was here? And you and I, before this conversation, we talked about Block.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And Dorsey. And, you know, he's always been such a pioneer. I've been pro Dorsey for a long time. I wasn't when I got kicked off of Twitter way back in the day, but I don't think that was really Dorsey's doing. It was more the algorithms and all the woke tards that were working in the screening room.
Attaboy, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. But, you know, Block is, you know, with BitKey, he has cracked something that's right in the middle, where I think a lot of the self-custody early wallets like Ledger and Trezor, certainly Cold Card and running your own node, most people are not going to do that. Even if they're 20 or 30 or 40 hours into learning about Bitcoin, that still may be off limits. It still may be like, I'll screw that up, or that just seems weird, or I don't know about that. And BitKey has got, it's in that middle zone where I think it's way more intuitive. People can understand it. And so it's exciting. And I'm just wanting to get your thoughts on that and the idea of a super app. Like, do you think it'll come out of somebody like Block? Is it going to come? I don't think it's going to come out of MicroStrategy. I think that's just a treasury company, unless he shocks the world with his development team and launches something. But I think we'd be already be seeing some murmurs of that, and I don't. I just see them buying Bitcoin and sticking it in the treasury. So I start to think about somebody like Dorsey and Block, because I'm like, huh, he's got a product here that's starting to maybe hint at it a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
So first of all, I agree with you. The I think there's no better company, let me equivocate a little bit. I think there's so many interesting developments going on at Block that are here to abstract the complexity, the challenge with onboarding the user interface, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to just be simple and elegant. In fact, we're all used to what the iPhone came out with originally, and that's the aspiration. But using the internet, like if we go back in time, right, Yahoo came along to kind of minimize the complexity of navigating the web. And then Google came after that. You're like, well, this is, why would I use Yahoo?
Right.
And so I do believe that we're headed towards that moment where there will be singularity, where that the ease and the makes the adoption. And I think, you know, with the base nature of money continuing to devolve, that there's going to be a need for people to figure things out that will converge with the technical developments of the customer interface.
Sure.
You know, you're right. Well, hopefully we're both right. You know, and I take people more often than not. I start with what they say, and then I look for what they do. And what Dorsey has said is, if Bitcoin reaches $1 million without adoption, it's a failure. To me, like, agree, full stop, like, resonates. Yep. And then you look at some of the things that he's off doing, either via Block and or via his own crazy talent, coding talent, you know, with BitChat, to provide a freedom and a technology that is Bluetooth enabled, and you know, that wouldn't, where Tony couldn't be deplatformed.
Yeah,
as long as Tony has his device and a Bluetooth signal, he can communicate with people.
Yeah,
so you, to your point, and we've talked about it. We're so early.
Yeah,
and people, we're all underestimating what this is going to become, but you know, the learners and the doers and the builders are going to be the ones that, you know, help make it happen, and also get the greatest satisfaction from the rewards that come, and the reward not just being price, but it's like helping change humanity.
Love it. Well, you're gonna have to show me BitChat the next coffee we meet, because I'm curious to get in set up.
Oh man,
that.
You're gonna love it.
It's
an example of the ease that's to come.
Love it. I love it. So, Pete, any last words of wisdom before we sign off? Anything on Bitcoin you want to finish with, or retirement? Anything like that?
Retirement. Don't do something that you don't have to retire from.
Yeah, there you go.
Retirement. Yeah. That sounds like that's death's waiting room. I think that's the beauty of being around this thing, is the fact that I would expect in our lifetime there's going to be plenty of work and plenty of ways to continue to make contributions that are going to help see fulfill more of its reality in as much of our lifetimes as possible.
It gets exciting when you don't have to do anything, and it's the stuff that you really feel passionate about doing and providing. You know what I mean? Like, then you're freed up from the hamster wheel, and it's like, what do I want? What would be kind of cool to create? What would help the community? What would be fun to be engaged with in the conversations that'll be around this business or whatever you're building?
Well, you and I, as I shared with you in coming up for our next coffee, I mean, we're just getting started. There's going to be another Tony podcast that... what I feel very strongly about is what we spend a moment on, and besides we the people, is, you know, small to medium-sized businesses,
mm-hmm.
where we happen to live. I mean, first of all, they're the lifeblood of the American economy, and they actually represent a healthy lifeblood in a decentralized economy, where people can go out, create a store, and do business, and attract customers and do great work. And in many, you know, many places, that is a really challenging, difficult endeavor for a variety of reasons. And by the way, it also happens to, perhaps with the obviously AI coming, is the future of employment. Like, you're going to have to figure out a way to be a small to medium-sized business providing value in your community.
Yep, I agree.
And in doing it in a community, and in our case, a state, where everything is wired against you,
mm-hmm.
Bitcoin's here to help you do what you do better than you can in the existing system. So I am a believer in all the apps that are going to help turn those small to medium sized businesses into thriving little enterprises by virtue of operating in and around easily with Bitcoin. So you will be a part of helping make that a reality, because these companies are coming, businesses need it, and I think it's going to serve as an interesting way for people like us to actually more advantageously orange pill their business rather than the person.
I love it. I love it. Pete, I can't wait for more coffee dates with you and unpacking some of this stuff. I feel like we're just getting started. The
Oh, we're
spark.
just getting warmed up.
Yeah, we're just getting warmed up, man. I love everything
It's
you're saying.
early.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, we'll do this again. I look forward to meeting up with you. Thank you so much, Pete, for coming on to Basecamp for Men, sharing your insight, your wisdom, and your enthusiasm for Bitcoin and everything that's going on. Super appreciate it, Pete.
Man, Basecamp for Men. Glad to be here, Tony. Look forward to next. Can't wait.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. We'll be keeping track of Pete and all the developments and ideas that spring forth in this Bitcoin space. Man, what an exciting time to be alive. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.